ER 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. Well, May is Stroke Awareness Month, and all year long this information is crucial, and many people don't know the signs and symptoms of a stroke, which can be deadly. It is the third leading cause of death in the United States, but it's the leading cause of disability. And I want to welcome my first guest, Dr. Steven Anderson. He's an emergency physician near Seattle, Washington, and he's the chairman of the Stroke Committee at MultiCare Auburn Medical Center, as well as the past president of the American College of Emergency Physicians, the Washington State chapter. So welcome, Dr. Anderson. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, Lee. I appreciate being here to talk about stroke.
So there's been, in the last probably 10 or 15 years, quite a shift in how we think of stroke, and emergency departments are very critical in the initial treatment and assessment of strokes. So let's first just talk about, and as we said, the numbers are staggering. I mean, how many people today actually have strokes, or you know, first time or even multiple strokes?
Well, I think you hit it on the head when you led in with this. This is the third leading cause of death now, and to me, it's more devastating to even think of the fact that it's the leading cause of permanent disability. I probably get more scared by the idea of being permanently paralyzed or unable to talk or blind or something like that. And there doesn't go by a day in my emergency department that I don't see someone that presents with signs and symptoms of a potential stroke. So it's an everyday occurrence in our department.
Yeah, it is common. I mean, I think the American Heart Association, because it is considered, you know, the genesis of stroke is related to heart disease and such. So their numbers are, you know, anywhere to 700,000 to 800,000 people have a stroke. About, what, 500,000, it's the first time, but 200,000 people will have recurrent stroke again. So it's a huge number of people, and over 150,000, something like that, deaths from stroke each year. So let's first talk about, you know, initially in emergency rooms, I mean, or way back, you talk, you know, 50 years ago, people would come in and have a stroke, and, you know, a lot of the care was just, you know, making them comfortable and seeing what disabilities would develop, if any, from the stroke. But we've been taking a very different approach in the last 15 years or so. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you're absolutely right. In my lifetime as an emergency medicine physician, I've gone from patients arriving saying, yes, you got a stroke, let's put you in the hospital and arrange for rehabilitation, and there wasn't a whole lot we did. But as we started to understand the whole process of the disease, we now realize that there are interventions that can actually improve people's outcomes if we are aggressive and make those diagnoses quick enough. So you mentioned the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association are basically one and the same, and just as heart attack therapy has evolved in the last 15 to 30 years of actually being interventional and trying to make a difference in the outcome, stroke therapy has gone the same way. We now have tools we can offer patients to help resolve their symptoms and limit any sort of long-term disability. So sort of as a lead-in, you used the American Heart Association. If you think of heart attacks, I like to think of a stroke as a brain attack.
Right, and there's been several campaigns to let people know that these are critical symptoms that you should not ignore. I mean, it reminds me, and it didn't turn out to be a stroke, and we can talk a little bit about that later, but there was a young woman, a CBS reporter, couple, a year or two ago, who Serene Branson, who was on the air, and she was, her speech was completely garbled during this broadcast. And it ended up not being a stroke, and we'll talk about maybe some risk factors for young women. But it's those kind of things that the people ignore, and sometimes people themselves don't even realize what's going on. That's why it's critical for everyone around you to recognize these symptoms. So let's talk a little bit about what are the signs and symptoms that people should be on the lookout for to clue people into possible stroke.
So, Lee, only about 10% of people actually realize that they're having a stroke. You're right.
Wow.
90% of the time, someone else has to recognize it. And so it's critical that if you see a loved one or a friend who's exhibiting any of the major symptoms, you need to act fast. And I want to start off by saying, well, let's talk a little about headache, because there are two types of strokes. There's a bleeding stroke and a stroke where there's a blood clot that forms in the brain, and we can talk a little about the difference.
Okay.
In the type where there's a bleed, sometimes people get what's called this lightning bolt acute headache, but the worst of their life. Not always, but in the ischemic stroke, the stroke where there's a blood clot, there's rarely a headache. And I really want people to understand, no headache doesn't mean no stroke, because right. I have people all the time tell me, well, I couldn't be having a stroke, I'm not having a headache. What the American Stroke Association wants people to learn is to think fast. And F-A-S-T is an anagram they want you to learn. That's, the F is for facial droop. People's faces will start to droop on one side. They'll have arm weakness or leg weakness, which is the A. They might have slurred speech, which is the S. And they might have tingling or sudden numbness somewhere in their body, their face, their arms, or their legs. And that's the FAST. Now, there are other symptoms as well, but they want you to focus in their campaign on thinking fast. The other
okay,
symptoms
that's,
that can happen,
that's very good. So let's tell people again, because that's a good
that's a take-home
acronym.
Point.
Right. So the F, tell us again, the F is for facial.
Their facial motion. You look at someone and one side of their face seems to be either drooling or their mouth is drooping. It frequently goes along with the slurred speech. When their mouth, their face are affected, they can't speak very as well. But facial droop is
okay.
The F.
A is the arm,
A
right?
Is arm or leg weakness. All of a sudden, hard to lift your arm, hard to lift your leg. F is slurred speech, and T is tingling or sudden numbness, arm, leg, face, something like that.
Okay, that's very good, because those are the key things. You know, obviously, what goes along with that, if you have leg weakness, you have trouble walking,
exactly.
Unsteady gait, things like that, but those are the major points, so those are very good.
And some of the other ones that you're not going to ignore, sudden vision change, loss of vision in an eye, loss of vision to the side or in front, sudden confusion, and I believe that was our reporters. All of a sudden it was sort of garbled speech, sounded very confused out of nowhere acutely. And then, like you said, profound dizziness or inability to walk, falling over, those are some of the other ones. But the campaigns really educate people about fast.
Yeah, that's really important and critical. So I think, you know, it's really key that if you see these signs or symptoms, better, it's like your grandmother said, better safe than sorry, and you need to call 911 right away.